let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Great to have you with us on the program today. He's one of the greatest offensive linemen to ever play in the National Football League. Bruce Matthews was selected to 14 consecutive Pro Bowls. That ties an all-time record, 10 All-Pro honors. He played in more NFL games, 296, than any non-kicker in the league's history. Never missed a game because of injuries. A member of the 1990s All-Decade team, starting every game during that decade. A Bart Starr Man of the Year Award winner, numerous other awards. And in 2007, his first year of eligibility, inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In 2013, named to the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame All-Time Team. Bruce was an All-American at USC, a first-round draft pick. And with eight people and counting, the Matthews family has had more members in the NFL than any other family in history. A remarkable 19-year career with the Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans franchise, and now the author of Inside the NFL's First Family, My Life of Football, Faith, and Fatherhood, Bruce Matthews with us on This Week in America. Bruce, welcome to the program. Great to have you on the show today.
Thanks. Great for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it is an excellent read, but I got to start off by saying I may be the only person you talk to today that's not asking for Super Bowl tickets. Congratulations on the success of Jake and with the Atlanta Falcons and going to the Super Bowl.
We're really ecstatic. We drove down from Houston and watched a game. It was awesome. And unfortunately, one of the Matthews had to lose at the Matthews Bowl, and we're pretty darn glad it was Jake won. And like I said, he's going to play in his hometown.
This is going to be an exciting time for you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us on the program today, because you've got all of this going on in your family life. People ask the obvious question: how do you guys keep doing it? Keep turning out NFL players? And you say basically you can trace this back to your grandfather, who was born in 1889. He sort of set the pace for everybody, didn't he?
Right, he sure did. Matty was a minor league baseball player, coached boxing, coached baseball, track and field, you know, name it. And he just really instilled some value in his sons, and specifically my dad. And he passed on the same approach to athletics. We didn't have to play if we didn't want to, but if we did, we couldn't quit. We had to give our all regardless of whatever sport we were involved with. And then lastly, whatever the coach said to do, do it. And he said, other than that, go have fun.
You know, your grandfather was a very competitive guy. He was a baseball player, and I'm reading the book, and it's fascinating. He had a foot race against Ty Cobb, who was considered about as fast as you get playing baseball, and he beat him.
Right. They used to have the barnstorming tours that would go into the South where there weren't major league franchises. And I have no idea what kind of condition Ty Cobb was in, because all I know is I didn't get that speed gene from Matty. I think some of the other Matthews did, but definitely not me.
We're talking with Bruce Matthews, Hall of Famer, our guest in the program. His new book is called Inside the NFL's First Family, My Life of Football, Faith, and Fatherhood. He was a boxer, and said you would meet people later, and they said he was tough but fair. He coached boxing at the Citadel. Tough but fair, that's sort of a theme that runs throughout the book, isn't it? That's how you were taught to play whatever game it was you were playing or whatever you were doing in life.
Absolutely. I tried to quit one time in middle school basketball team. Things weren't going the way I had hoped. And my dad's jaw about hit the floor. But it really was the first time, I think, that anyone kind of called him on that. And then I saw his reaction, and he didn't say a word to me. And immediately I knew, all right, I crossed the line right there. So, like I said, there weren't many rules, but he definitely enforced the ones that we had.
Well, and crossing the line is interesting because you learned early on where that line was from your dad. When you're like 16 years old, you have your best friend Dave and you decide you're going to box a little bit. It really didn't go well, did it?
No. I didn't box like my dad did, but he did teach me a few of the basics, like how to flick a jab out there and how to protect yourself. So me and my best friend in high school, Dave Samarzich, we're sparring out in the driveway, and I'm peppering him in the mouth, and he's got the old school braces where it's metal everywhere. Next thing you know, his mouth's all bloody and stuff. And my dad came home right then, and he goes, all right, you abuse the privilege. Now, you want to box, I'll show you what it's really about. So I did my best Clever Lang impersonation. They only popped me a couple times, but it was enough to realize that, you know, when you have something that you're blessed with, you don't want to abuse the privilege.
You know, you grew up really respecting your dad, who started this whole process out of playing in the National Football League. And it's interesting how the draft has changed over the years. This was back in the 1940s. He was drafted and really didn't know it till I got a phone call from the 49ers, and they weren't the ones who drafted him. They traded for him, right?
That's right. He didn't know that the Rams had initially drafted him and then immediately traded him to the 49ers. And ironically, I was like my 10th or 11th year with the Oilers, and I used to past time in the training room, kind of just looking through media guides for NFL franchises. And I was flipping through the Rams media guide, looking at their all-time draft. And sure enough, there's my dad in the 25th round, picked by the LA Rams. called him that night, and he said, he goes, hey, Dad, I told him, I found out where you were initially drafted. And he goes, what was it, first round or something? I go, no, you were picked in the 25th and final round. And we had a really good laugh.
I'm sure that gave you great pleasure to point out history that, okay, Dad, it was the 25th round. NFL Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews, our guest on the program. The book is such an excellent read on so many levels, Inside the NFL's First Family, My Life of Football, Faith, and Fatherhood. Let's talk about, you're a guy that does checklists. A lot of people do checklists, and boy, you had a lot, and you checked them off throughout your career. After the career at USC, it's your rookie year in the National Football League, and you're thinking, I've got all of this. These checks are all in the right column over here. But explain, there was still sort of an emptiness that you had at that point, wasn't there?
Oh, no question. I mean, I had a beautiful wife, and we'd just gotten married and graduated college and got drafted in the NFL by the Oilers in the first round. And I was expecting that when I finally got all this stuff done, I'd have that emptiness that I kind of, I felt this longing and this need for something more. And that was the case my rookie year. And fortunately, I had some teammates that, I had a great blessing to meet, and it was through our team chaplain that he led me to the Lord, and it's just an amazing change for my life. And, I mean, my faith walk has been going for a lot of years, and I learn so much every day.
You know, it's interesting because you say there wasn't like this dramatic outward transformation, and that's so important to so many people. Talk about that. You went through this process, but it wasn't like you went to Bible study and the next day you're out a totally different person. This was a process. In fact, probably still is a process, isn't it?
No question. I remember as I started investigating, and my friend Greg Headington did such a good job of discipling me and showing me the basics about the faith. And I had no trouble accepting everything to be true. And it took a while for certain elements of it to actually reflect in my life. I mean, I knew in my heart, but I don't know how much, if people had looked at my life, they would have known that I was a believer. But yes, it's been a lifetime process, and I'm amazed because sometimes I think I know all there is to know, and then the Lord quickly humbles me and reminds me, you don't know anything.
Well, and you talk at the end of the book when you started, you're out now speaking, and it's sort of like he's pushing you out of your comfort zone to reach people. Bruce Matthews, our guest on the program. Time is going by so rapidly, and I would like to talk about the career, people would look at that and go, wow, he has everything. Yet you went through real life like all of us do. You went through a family with depression, Down syndrome, with cancer, dealing with the pitfalls of life. Was it religion? Was that what kept you going solid all the way through this?
No question. I relied heavily on the Lord. Just understanding that he uses those circumstances and trials and tribulation to grow us in so many areas. And although when I was young, especially an immature believer, I didn't necessarily understand why I went through that stuff. And all I wanted for it to do was to be God. And now I recognize, all right, Lord, I don't necessarily want to go through this, but I'm excited to see what it is you're going to show me through this or where you might improve my life. And the perfect example is our youngest daughter, Gwen. My wife, Karen, and I have been blessed with 7 children. And our youngest daughter, Gwen, has Down syndrome. And I never would have chosen to have a child with Down syndrome. But thankfully, the Lord knew better than me. And our little girl, she's 13. She's taught us so much about unconditional love. And she's the most content person I know. And she's about loving and being loved. And had I been in charge, I wouldn't have had this blessing. And I'm so thankful that God saw fit and that he knows better than I do.
You'll read all about Bruce inside the NFL's First Family is his book, My Life of Football, Faith, and Fatherhood. Time going by way too quickly. You talk about football, so many great stories in there, the business side and the playing side. You did get nailed in the business side. What, your contract is up. I think this is the first one after your rookie contract. And you negotiate yourself, and you're very honest. You're saying, I don't want to go anywhere else. This is where I belong. And a couple days after you sign the contract, you find out you're going to Nashville, whether you like it or not. The franchise has been moved.
Oh, yeah. It was a big-time shock because I felt I'd bent over backwards for the club and was very upright or forthright with them that I wasn't going to – I would do it on their timetable. And then we finally reach an agreement, and sure enough, they announced the team's moving. And, yeah, I really felt betrayed. But, again, it's another one of those blessings that at the time I was really mad about. But in hindsight, I'm thankful it happened because going up to Tennessee was a great time for my family. We had some separation there where they were still in Texas. And then just being able to appreciate my wife and my kids because I was so used to being with them all the time. And in hindsight, again, the Lord used it for a positive.
In 4 years, you've played 4 different line positions. A couple minutes left in the program. There's a great story in there, and you talk about Les Steckel is your coach. And there's something really that feels good about running the football at a defense that knows what's coming, and they still can't stop you. A great story in there about Eddie George, and they just about wore the guy out that day at running the football at them, didn't they?
And the beauty of it, it was a preseason game. So typically we were supposed to go in there, get our work, and be done. But Les really set the stage that 1999 year when we finally did go to the Super Bowl, that our identity was going to be that of a hard-nosed team. He basically revisited that game at halftime during that Super Bowl against the Rams. And he goes, I apologize. We got away from what we were or what we're supposed to be as an offense. And then we went out in the second half and hammered the Rams. And unfortunately, we came up 1 yard short, but it was just an outstanding season nonetheless.
One of the great stories in the book by NFL Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews, Inside the NFL's First Family, My Life of Football, Faith, and Fatherhood. You say in the book that you're proud of everyone who played football, all the family members, but you're just as proud of their wives, siblings, sons, daughters in the family, the extended family that aren't NFL players. Got about 30 seconds or so left. Talk about that, because you are just as much in admiration about that part of the family as the ones that suit up and play football on Sunday.
Oh, no question. Man, we're all gifted so many different ways. Sometimes, just because we play football, we get an inordinate amount of attention our way. But there's a lot of people, whether it's Stephen, our oldest son, who's working to get his to pass the bar and has gone to law school. And it doesn't matter. It's, are you using your talents and abilities the best you can? And are you glorifying the Lord in the process? And that's really the biggest lesson I think I've learned. It's not so much what you do, but why you do what you do, how you treat people, and are you looking to serve the Lord in what you're doing?
It's an excellent book, Inside the NFL's First Family, My Life of Football, Faith, and Fatherhood by NFL Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews, the father of Jake Matthews, playing in this year's Super Bowl. Bruce, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Great having you with us. Really enjoyed reading the book, and thank you for sharing it with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you. You're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.